is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening, good morning, good day to you, wherever you happen to be on this planet. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. So glad you could join us. And of course, I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Good evening, everybody. Glad to be here.
Yes, it is March 13th, 2013. We have just a week to go before the spring solstice for us and winter solstice for down under or southern hemisphere. So we'll have ceremony show next week, the rite of equinoctial equilibrium. We'll mention that again toward the end of the program. But tonight we're going to talk about the magic of being your own hero, and as it relates to principle number 7 of MCHS principles. We'll get to that in just a moment. We again would like to welcome those of you who've taken the time to listen to this live program, as well as those who are listening to the archive. We really appreciate you joining us tonight. As we get into our program, we'll do our typical profession of beliefs. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle of do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we believe in the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. 7, which is the one we'll be talking about tonight, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these three synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Now, for more information on these principles of belief as well as MCHS Church, please visit mchschurch.org. In addition, MCHS Church also operates, primarily one school and then a second site, sister site. Metaphysics Institute offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics with a variety of specializations available. And then newageclass.com offers standalone certificate courses and certification courses. So if you'd like more information on those, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org or newageclass.com. So tonight we are talking about the topic of will the real you please stand up, the magic of becoming your own hero. And this is going to focus, of course, on principle of belief 7, which is really the life leadership paragon. That's those three skills which make up a fourth. That's self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and these three synergistically create self-completeness or self-actualization. So we want to talk about those collectively, signature called the Life Leadership Paragon. And for those who may not know, the word paragon is simply means a model of excellence. And the Life Leadership Paragon is certainly that. And it's an elegant model, and it's simple to comprehend. And everything kind of boils down to those three areas. So we're going to talk about that within the context of being who you are. We've talked about this in the past, but we're going to kind of bring it together again for those who may not have caught those previous shows. One of the things to start off this discussion, if you stop and think about it, it's really fascinating, I guess is a good word, perhaps in a sad sort of way, how many people unwittingly give up their identity and power to others. I mean, this is widespread. And when I say give up their identity, I'm talking a lot about something that we call them esteem. You have self-esteem and you have them esteem. Self-esteem simply means you esteem yourself. Those folks with a healthy self-esteem basically validate themselves. They fulfill their own expectations. They create their own expectations and then validate themselves. Those folks with them esteem, which is also known as low self-esteem, basically rely on external validation. And they only feel good about themselves when they are living up to the expectations of others. Hence the term them esteem. They esteem them or other people more than they do themselves. And so when we do that, when we only feel good about what we're doing because we get a pat on the back by somebody, or we're living up to the expectations of our family, our boss, our religious leaders, whoever, that's the only time we ever feel good, then we suffer from them esteem, and we've essentially sacrificed our identity. There's some other ways that we sacrifice our identity too, which we'll touch on. But when we give up who we are, we lose our power. We basically forfeit our power, and that's not healthy.
You know, Doug, I think there's a lot of reasons that it happens. So it can happen very innocently, and inadvertently. Even as a child, you know, little tiny things that, you know, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. Children should be seen, not heard. You know, there's a lot of little adages, one-liners that come with each generation that means to serve, and that the message, especially to children, is that serving others is more important than serving the self. So if I get A's in school, I'll get a new bike. If I am nice to my friend, then, you know, somebody will like me. So it happens very innocently. So what we're talking about is not in any way to criticize or judge. It's a process that each of us has had to go through in our lives to gradually get our spirit back, to realize that if I'm not intact and if I'm not whole, then I can't give a whole benefit to a relationship.
Yep. One of the things we teach in our curriculum, our doctoral degree curriculum, is the concept of not only reinventing yourself, but also maintaining your own identity. You know, so many, well, New Age, New Thought beliefs talk about basically getting rid of your ego. You know, you got to transcend the ego. And we don't teach that. You know, obviously we're not talking about an unhealthy ego, but we teach that your ego is part of you. And as long as you're not narcissistic, you know, you need that. I mean, that's part of who we are. Every individual is valuable. And so we can't sacrifice who we are for anyone else. It means standing on your own two feet. And to get into this discussion, let's just briefly describe the three primary aspects of the Life Leadership Paragon. The first one, self-acceptance. Obviously, somebody with self-acceptance has a healthy self-esteem. They don't suffer from them esteem. They accept themselves for who they are, and they have the attitude that they are perfect just the way they are. And, you know, they're trying to get better every day. Tomorrow, they're better than they were yesterday. They learn, they grow. They accept themselves for who they are, warts and all, as Shakespeare said. They don't constantly denigrate themselves or put themselves down. Their self-talk is more positive. You know, we talked in the past about the First National Thought Bank of, and then insert your name there. You know, it's our thoughts. Do we denigrate ourselves with our self-talk, our thoughts? And whenever we do that, it's like taking a withdrawal from your thought bank. And every time you do that, you need to make a deposit of more than you withdrew. So if you catch yourself putting yourself down, you got to just say cancel, and then replace it with something that's positive. It's interesting, too, in the same vein, in the first course of the IMHS degree program, it talks about your mission statement. What do you want to do with it? You know, what do you bring to the table? What benefits will the world receive as a result of you being a metaphysician and doing your work? And it's interesting that occasionally students can't come up with anything. And, of course, I always hold them to the wire on that. You know, you've got positives. I mean, there's you've got value. There's things you bring to the table that are unique to you. What are they? Think harder. Dig deeper. And if you're part of that group, well, I just don't know what I offer. What do I bring to the table? Why would the world benefit from me being who I am? If you can't come up with anything, I'll tell you the same thing. Think harder.
You know? Yeah, but Doug, people think that that means ego, and ego equals bad.
Yeah, that's not true, though. We're not talking about narcissism, where you're everything, and that's all that there is. That's not what we mean. We're talking about a healthy self-concept here, accepting yourself for who you are and having that attitude of getting better tomorrow. I'm perfect just the way I am, but I'll be better tomorrow than I was yesterday. I'm a perfect work in progress. You know, there's only one person on this planet, in this universe, who is perfect at being you as you are, and that's you, of course. So when you factor in how amazing it is that any one of us is here, you know, just it is a miracle of life. It really is. I know that's put around a lot, but when you stop and think about it, it's a miracle that any of us are here for a zillion reasons. Ancestors had to live. You know, everything had to work out just right for us to be here. We don't want to throw that away. We don't want to denigrate that. And that's one of the issues I take with religion, is that they denigrate the person, the individual. You know, they have words like sin, you know, yuck. That's a bad word. There is no sin. You know, we make mistakes, sure.
I don't remember the word yuck.
Well, it's a
yeah,
it's a one thrown in. Yeah, threw it in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, accept yourself for who you are. If there's some things that you could improve on, fair enough. Join the club. We all have things we can work on. Are you working on them? Well, do that. But don't allow negative self-talk to bring you down. You are a unique individual, just like the rest of us, and that's the way it should be. So accept yourself.
You know, if I can just add one more element in here. We live in a very competitive, sorry about this, a very competitive world that we're always comparing one to the other. It's good to compare, to know how to gauge ourselves, but it's not good to compare to think we're lesser or better.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good point. Don't compare yourself to other people, because you can't. It's always like comparing apples and oranges. You know, there's no comparison. They're not the same. And that's a great point. And that's so many people do that. Well, you know, I'm not as smart as he is or she is, or I'm not as gifted as he or she is, or this or that. I'm not smart enough. I'm not educated enough. And again, I don't want to hear all the reasons why you can't do something. I want to hear all the reasons why you can. We all have our gifts. We all have our talents. We all have things that we're just not that good at. That's just life. Welcome to life. You know, so don't look longingly at other people wishing you could be just like them, because you are forfeiting your identity. Here's another area, too, that people forfeit their identity, and that's in toxic relationships. When one partner basically gives up who they are to be more like the other partner. You see this in toxic relationships all the time, in addiction-based relationships. You know, they give up who they are, and they give up their dreams so they can support the other person. That's not healthy. Did you have a comment, Vicki?
Well, you know, this is such a big, you know, a big topic. If I'm just thinking, just to narrow it down, because, you know, you and I can get talking about this for hours, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
If people understand just basically that there's the word heal in healthy, and that each of us is in a process of healing largely because of a lot of stuff that got put into our brains, you know, even inadvertently, you know, from a very young age. Nobody really knows what it is to be healthy. And again, we compare, we're looking to mentors, we're looking somewhere outside ourselves for a gauge of what it is to accept who we are. And it's usually not there. It's wonderful to meet people of like mind who can be encouraging, supportive, and, you know, I don't know, it's just that persistence to grow instead of commiserate. Because when we look to identify, usually it is in the negative.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only accept this part of me because the rest I can't really share with anybody. So there's a lot of secrecy, a lot of hiding, a lot of worry that if somebody finds out about this, you know, with me, and if I could only do better. And it's just garbage. It's just garbage.
And a lot of people are afraid that other people will see them for who they are, and they don't like who they are. Well, there's so many things wrong with that. First of all, if you don't like who you are, first of all, do you have valid reasons for that? I mean, really valid reasons. If you do, then change those things. This is not rocket science. Change them. If you want to improve some things, then do it. Bring those aspects into your core values. But as we go, let me recapture that. Change those things so that you feel better about yourself. One of the things that I want to spring off of, too, before I forget it, something on that you said reminded me of it, is, and in this whole discussion about toxic relationships, if you are in a relationship with somebody and they demand your full attention and your mind and life is only wrapped up or all around them, you've lost your power. You've lost your identity.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just totally agreeing with that one, Doug. Something else that is just a little trick of the brain that a great teacher of mine shared with me many years ago is to take out the word try.
Mm-hmm.
Try induces a negative. So, well, I'm going to try. Well, automatically there's a feeling and the inference of negative to failure. But if I say I'm going to give it my best effort, there is an automatic knowing that I will make some success. So it's going upward instead of downward. So if you think about that again, I'm going to give it a try. You know, that just is a cop-out.
It is a cop-out.
If I say I'm giving it an effort, I'm going to work on that, you know, it's just the effort of energy that keeps moving, then maybe I'm not that great at it. You know, maybe I never will make an angel food cake, but I'll be able to make a pretty darn good sponge cake, and that's okay.
And that's it. It's basically accepting yourself for who you are and your talents. Now, we got to look at this in a healthy way. Sometimes we just don't want to do something, and we don't really care whether we're good at it. Fine, move on to the next point. It doesn't matter anymore. But I'm going to beat this one again, too, is that we have way too many people who essentially and effectively say, gee, that's too hard. They may even want to, oh, that's too hard. And we have to get over that. How hard can it be? It's not that hard if you know how to do it, right? Usually. So learn how to do it. If it's something worthwhile, make it happen. Don't be one of those people who long for something but never really go after it. You know, again, fast forward You're on your deathbed. You know, you're looking back over your life. Will you have a bad case of the woulda, coulda, shouldas, the if-onlys, and the might-have-beens? You know, if that's the case, change now. You know, seize the day. Go after what you want. Make it happen. Be who you want to be. We get so caught up, especially if we have kids and a job and all that. We put our life on hold a lot of times. Well, you can't afford to do that because we don't have any guarantees that we'll be around in 5 minutes, let alone a year or two. So seize what you want. Go after what you want. Does that mean let go of every other responsibility? No. It means plan, at least do something. Take a step toward what you want. It can be a baby step, but move toward it. Make something happen and continually do that. If you want something, look at it and remember to focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. And that sets up your own unconscious mind to bring reality into line with your wishes.
Which moves us right into self-responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've just got a comment on something that Dan typed in the chat room. The two... My dad used to say this, what are the two saddest words in any language? You know, if only. And that's true. You know, we don't want to say that if only. If only I had done something different. If only I had not been so stressed out during that time. If only I had realized that I'm not getting any younger. If only, if only, if only. You know, we don't want that. To negate the if onlys, you go after what you want. That means taking responsibility for who you are and for your life. We'll talk about the three universal laws of personal responsibility. The first law is you are where you are because of you. You know, because of decisions you've made, choices you've made. You are where you are because of you. I am where I am because of me. I can't blame other people. Did it always turn out like I wanted? Did I always intend it that way? No, not necessarily. But that brought me experience. It gave me experience. So now the next decisions are better. The second universal law is don't expect other people to do for you that which you ought to be doing for yourself. So many people want that. They feel entitled. Well, you need to do this for me. You need to do that for me. No, they don't. You know, if it's your stuff, own it. Do it for yourself. The third universal law, don't do things for other people that they could and should do for themselves. That's the definition of codependence and enabling. You know, don't let other people walk their path. Does that mean you can't do a nice? No, it doesn't. Sure, you can do a nice. But make sure that in your efforts to help other people, you're not essentially assuming responsibility for them and trying to control them. It's their path, their journey. There are unique lessons along that path, just like there are lessons along your path. So those are the three universal laws of personal responsibility. And I'll share this story again because it just brings it home. A few years ago, gosh, it's been a lot of years ago now, I was in St. Louis doing some sales training, and I was at my little cubicle with my desk and had a hutch, and inside this hutch somebody had left this little specialty item. It was a square about the size of a business card, plastic. On one side was a mirror, and on that mirror it says, I am looking at the person responsible for my future. And that is an excellent way to look at responsibility. When you look in the mirror, you basically make that statement, I am looking at the person responsible for my future. And if that's the case, then I'm also looking at the person responsible for my past and my present. So take that responsibility.
You know, I think about relationships and how often people fall into role playing. And this is a big one that just throws all that responsibility stuff right out the window. You know, mm-hmm. Because we fall into a pattern or a role that has been, and it happens automatically. It's really kind of bonkers when you think about it. Two people get married, and suddenly they assume the position. You know, it's who does dishes, who cleans, who does the mowing, who does stuff. And what happens is people end up taking over each other's lives. I mean, women buy men's underwear. I don't get it. You know, I honestly don't get that stuff. Because to me, that's, unless that's a verbal agreement where he just cannot do shopping,
mm-hmm.
it's taking away somebody's first role of self-responsibility.
Well, do for yourself that which you should.
And you know, I mean, it's the most intimate things that we give away in ourselves hits us right in the core. So it's take back your power by taking back responsibility for yourself. Very simple.
And related to that, I think it was Mark Twain who said, if I'm remembering correctly, he said, you know, don't make somebody your priority who has only made you their option.
Oh, big one.
Yeah, and that so many people do that, you know, their whole life is wrapped around another person, and they've lost their identity, they've lost their power. And that they're essentially not taking responsibility for themselves, and they're trying to assume responsibility for another adult, which is a big no-no. You can't do that. That's immoral. It's unethical. We have to be responsible for ourselves.
You know, if I can say largely what people are craving is to feel loved. It's the biggest one.
Sure.
To feel connected with somebody else. You know, we're kind of a social animal, Doug.
Yeah.
We are, you know, we're one of those pack animals. We love that. But what ends up happening, and this is what we have to be careful of, is that if you're giving away, then receive something back. And if you keep giving and giving and giving and you're not getting, let's say you phone your friend 10 times and they don't call you back, it's because you're not a priority.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what kinds of messages do we need, you know, to finally understand that all things must be equitable, that
yes.
there has to be a fairness, that has to be a responsibility. So if I'm taking responsibility for myself, don't throw perfectly good energy away that somebody else will value greatly.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be in the phone call.
And that brings up the model or the concept of the two most important relationship questions. You know, what do I bring to this relationship? What do I add? What do I subtract? What does the other person bring to the relationship? What do they add? What do they subtract? You know, if any time that a person takes more from a relationship than they give, they're not willing to change, that relationship will end. You know, but then you often have the giver, the codependent, usually giver, on the other end, just giving and giving and giving until it hurts. You know, I've really coached and counseled tons of codependent folks over the years. I was doing a hypnosis session some years back on a very nice lady, and she was very, very kind-hearted woman, very, just, she was a very nice person, just giving, and she gave until it hurts. And so we were doing this hypnosis session. It was actually because she had a paranormal experience, so we were trying to see what was up. And anyway, so she really went deep, probably deeper than anybody I've ever hypnotized. And she's relating that there was an entity in the room. And interestingly, a friend of mine, Gregory, was there, who's psychic, and he was picking up on some kind of an energy that was very unfamiliar to him. He'd never picked up on this type of thing before. So I'm doing this hypnosis session, and she's talking the subject, and she's saying that, I asked, you know, is it communicating with you? And she says, yes. And what's it telling you? She says that I need to keep doing what I'm doing and giving and giving. And I says, you mean even when you suffer for it? And she replied, yes. Now, my personal observations or personal opinion from that session was that there was no entity there other than the one she created with her mind, really. And it was trying to, her own mind was trying to give her some support to keep giving, because there's always secondary gains when that happens. Secondary gains are, if I do this and subject myself to this kind of pain or giving and they don't appreciate it, they don't give back, what am I gaining from it? There's always a secondary gain. It can be a lot of different things. So if you're in that position and you remain in a bad relationship when you know you ought to get out, what are the secondary gains? What? How are you sacrificing? And this poor woman, she sacrificed a lot. And she did have a big, kind heart. But it was abused. She was taken advantage of all the time. And so did some coaching on assertiveness, and it really helped her a lot. She improved a lot. So be careful of the responsibility. Now that brings us to respect for free will. And that's another aspect. If you are giving, 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 you got to respect other people's free will. And that means observing the law of control, that we don't try to control other people. We don't tell them what they ought to be doing. We don't give unsolicited advice. We basically control us. That's all we're responsible for. Now, I'm not referring to any children. If you have children, yes, you're responsible for them. I'm referring to adults now. You are not responsible for your husband. You are not responsible for your wife. You are not responsible for another adult. They are responsible for them. One of the things I teach in alcoholic relationships is that the codependent non-alcoholic is not responsible for the recovery of the alcoholic. That means that they don't go searching rehab places and doing all this stuff. Interventions, in my opinion, are a violation of free will and responsibility. It's not their job to help the alcoholic or the addict. You know, the codependent person has their own issues to work on. They need to help themselves, just as the alcoholic or the addictive person. So we have to respect free will. That means just say no to control. Whenever you give unsolicited advice, you are trying to control somebody else.
You know, Dan just wrote in the chat room that it's extremely difficult for some people to change. He says some just find it easier to stay status quo, unfortunately. Sure. And, you know, that is true. And what we found, I mean, everybody can observe this, is it usually takes shock or trauma to change, because what you were doing previous didn't work for you anymore. So, you know, but as long as something is working for you, and we go back to secondary gains, we can use the self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will all together. As long as something is working for you, you won't change, because you're getting a secondary gain.
When the pain of change becomes less than the pain of remaining the same, we change.
Exactly.
And that's what happened. It takes a lot of times. Is there has to be so much pain. And we, you know, they're talking about alcoholics hitting rock bottom. Well, a lot of times that applies to us in life. We have to hit rock bottom in some ways, and before we'll even affect any changes. You know, change is hard.
And then there's a process. There's always a process to change. You know, what comes to mind, Doug, this happened not too long ago. A woman had called me. She'd been married 28 years. And her husband left her, and she was devastated. I mean, she's off the wall. So she's reading self-help books and trying to get him back, and she's not behaving very well. And I didn't see him coming back. And I said, but I know I can help you through a process here if you want to work with me. But I think where you're at is you're going to call 10 psychics trying to get the, you know, the best nine out of 10. And that's part of your process, too, because it's denial. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of flip a coin, and it's the best 4 out of 5 and 3 out of 5. And, well, maybe I'll flip one more time. And because we hang on to that small bit of sanity, or it's the way things used to be, because it's too painful to. Absolutely. And it's just hanging on by a thread, because crossing the bridge just seems enormous. It's so big, like that bridge to the other side, you know, Doug, is just big and scary, and I'll drown and I'll die, I'll lose my spirit, you know, and how can people do this to me? I mean, I've heard a lot of things over the years, too. But once you get on that bridge, you say, wow, okay, one foot in front of the other. All right, I got this. And it is that process through the changes and what you do learn. And this is why I love your life leadership paragon, Doug, because it's a process of self-acceptance and accepting the situation, accepting the people around you for who they are too, which naturally then leads into the responsibilities, you know, where they are, isolating what belongs to whom and how, and respecting that other people just might have a different plan in mind. And we have to go with that because that's the way life is. And that's how it is to be complete in yourself, to know your certainty. Because I've always called it self-certainty, living from the inside out, mm-hmm. instead of the outside in, to determine who I think I should be.
Good
so
point.
It's a process from shock or trauma. We don't have to do it that hard. You know, we don't. We can actually welcome change. So when fear rules your life, then it's difficult to want to change except what's comfortable for you. But if you're willing to look at the bigger picture, like, it's a microcosm, macrocosm kind of thing. If you're willing to look outside the picture, you know, pull your head up a little bit, look around, and say, oh, well, what's out there? And it's a simple word called interest. If you have interest, you're willing to put more information into your thinking, start assimilating different kinds of beliefs, and start allowing for your own change, and then it's not fearful anymore. It can be very simple.
And when we live in fear, we've sacrificed our power. We've given over our power to that fear and to whatever it is that we fear. And we're talking here now about self-completeness, about being complete within yourself, not needing anything outside of yourself to be complete, to fulfill you. And since we're kind of talking a little bit about these toxic relationships and about that lady that called you and her husband left her, you know, I imagine infidelity was involved. I don't know that, but and oftentimes it is. You know, the self-complete person basically says, don't let the door hit you in the butt on the way out.
Actually, I think in this case, it was one of those rare cases, Doug, where she was so self-absorbed, he couldn't handle it anymore.
Well,
you know,
that makes sense, too.
It's, you know, rather than, you know, getting him a coffee or, you know, they live on a farm, and instead of, you know, getting the lunch and taking it out to him, she was home doing self-pity. Why doesn't he want to come in and have lunch with me? So, you know, it was like...
Well, and isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Because what is she focused on? You know, this is an interesting thing that really makes sense when you think about it. People who are overly giving, who give too much, if I was to say, well, what are they focused on? Well, probably the first answer that comes to mind, well, they're focused on other people. But are they? Why are they giving? Why do they give until it hurts? What are the secondary gains? And when you follow that through, you will understand that they're not focused on other people. They're self-focused. They're focused on themselves. And so it sounds like this lady was just basically smothering him. And that's what overgivers do. They smother other people. And they try to control them. You know, they're trying to control their lives. That's what it's all about for them. And yet that's very unhealthy.
Well, and, you know, as soon as he left, she went to the gym. She lost 50 pounds. She said, how come he doesn't want me now? You know, I mean, it's that grasping at radical straws, you know, to have, to maintain.
That's textbook.
I know.
It's textbook. It's like, who is she living for? Not herself at all. She, you know, her identity, she has no identity. Her identity is wrapped up in him.
Which is exactly the point of this show.
Exactly.
Who are we?
Who are you? Yeah.
And I think you can go through, it's not just about writing a list down about who you want to come to you. It's writing a list about who you are. And not just that, but I'm so kind and I'm so giving. Doug, I have done an exercise with many, many people and asking them, give me three things that you believe describes you, and that you describe yourself about. Then give me three more things that you think other people would describe you as. And now I want you to describe what things you'd like to have more control over. And I can cancel out everything that somebody thinks about themselves just because one is contradictory to another. You know, it's getting down to, okay, this has nothing to do with who you are. It has everything to do with behavior and what you think you have to have in order to keep this facade. It's that external kind of, you know, how we demonstrate ourselves to the world is what, how we get gratification. So I can cancel everything out, you know, okay, this cancels this out and this cancels that out, but I'm really loving. Yes, but you're jealous. So that cancels that right out.
Yeah.
You know, it does. And well, but you know, I'm really generous to my friends. Yes, but now you're mad that they don't give to you. So you have, it cancels out because now you had an expectation of return. So you're not really generous. You're generous, like, with expectation.
Well, they're secondary gains. They're generous because they want the secondary gains. So let's bring this program full circle now. You know, will the real you please stand up? You know, the magic of being your own hero. You know, be your own hero. It's okay. Don't be a narcissist. Don't think too much of yourself. That is more than you should. But you are entitled to the same good things in life as anyone else, no more, no less. And so are they. Be your own hero. Decide who you want to be. Don't give your power over to another person. Don't sacrifice your identity for another person. Don't become another person, because you have a responsibility to yourself and to those you love to be who you are, to determine your core values, to determine what you think is right, wrong, good, and bad, tastes good or doesn't taste good. All those things go into making you a unique person. And when you do this, so many magical things happen. First of all, you become your own hero. Second of all, and most importantly, you take your power back. And that is the panacea for everything that ails you. You will protect your boundaries. You will establish healthy boundaries and protect those boundaries. You take your power back. And then people don't walk on you or don't even, and well, they may even try at times, but they don't get away with it because you know who you are and why you are who you are. So be your own hero. Take your power back. Determine your identity. Determine your core values. And live that life. Be that person. Because you will undoubtedly bring great things to the table. Just make sure you don't take more than you give. And people that do will not survive in your life. They will not remain in your life.
You know, I think it really comes down to two, Doug, is stop waiting for somebody to rescue you.
Yes, yes, good point.
Big one, big one.
Rescue yourself. Because that's what heroes do, right?
Yes,
they rescue themselves. So be your own hero. So we've kind of gone through some great points tonight. You know, some are repeats, but they bear repetition. Repetition for emphasis. We
all
need to hear these.
Stuff.
We need to hear them again and again and again, and we need to sound them down. We need to absorb them and apply them into our lives. Hopefully, you've heard a point or two that you can really think about now and meditate on. Apply to your own core values. It's the way it works.
But, well, next week. Yeah. Next week is our Easter special, you know, our spring.
Rite of equinoctial equilibrium, one of our four annual rites. And so we invite you to come back. It'll probably be a bit of a shorter show because we like to focus on that. But you know, bring a candle and be part of that. It's a time to remember, a time to plan. It's a time to take an assessment of where you're at. And it's a healthy thing to do. So we appreciate everybody's attention and time tonight, as always. We know you have other things you can do. We appreciate you spending it with us. So,
yeah, we do.
Hope you have a great week. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live, by God, live.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Have a great week.